So if you can open up the Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, and we're about halfway down the Amud, we sort of stopped in the middle of a discussion here. We're trying to figure out the Bryce has two different comparisons, you know, in terms of a machshav of shalol l'shem arelim. I mean, l'shem arelim, l'shem mulim, that combination. And there was one opportunity to compare to Tumah and Tumah's Basar. There was another opportunity to compare it to Chutz L'Zmano. And Gemara says that it makes more sense to make the comparison between Korban Pesach and Tumah, because that's going to reflect on the unique aspect of Korban Pesach, which is Bal B'Tumah, in the case of the Tzibur, if Rov the Tzibur is Tameh. Whereas the halacha of Chutz L'Zmano is a universal halacha. It's not limited to Korban Pesach. So the Gemara offers the following explanation. Ibois Emo. So Gemara says the following. Let's suggest that the Sefer Nami, the entire Braisa, is talking about Tumas Basar. Oh, so what does it mean when it says in the Braisa, She'enu Noig B'chol HaZvachim, that there's some sort of unique halacha in Tumas Basar that applies only to Korban Pesach, and that's why we'd want to make the equation based on Tumah? It doesn't mean that in other Zvachim you're allowed to eat the Basar B'Tameh. That's not what it means. The Psul of Tumas Basar doesn't apply in all Zvachim in the same way that applies to Pesach. And why is that? If, let's say, in any carbon, the basar contracted tumah before the zrika. So, Max, we're up to Samach Beis Amud Aleph, just a few lines before the end of the Amud. Do you see where it says the ilu? It's the last of the, so to speak, skinny lines. It says the ilu b'chalas vachim. What happens in any zevach before we get to Korban Pesach? If the basar comes in contact with tumah, and that happened, let's say, before the zrikas adam, and the question is, do we go ahead and zorek the dam? So the halacha is, this is going to be a sugya later on. Bein shenitma chelev ubasar kayim. Even if all the chelev became tameh, the basar did not become tameh. Bein shenitma basar v'chelev kayim, or if all the basar became tameh and the chelev is kayim, in other words, you can get one of two things. You can either get the achilas habasar, or you can get the haktar al gabi mizbeach. One or the other is fine. Zorikas hadam. That's a sugya later on. That if the zrikas hadam would be meaningful for either the basar or for the chelev. Now, when we say basar chelev, we mean basar v'achila. The minimum shear of achila is always what? Kizayis. As far as chelev is concerned, where we have the hekter chalovim on the mizbeach, that's also an achila of sorts, and it also requires a kizayis, but one or the other is fine. However, in the case of Pesach, that's not really going to be true. If the evarim became tamei, but you could still eat the basar, that's okay. Right, the chelev, which is burnt on the mizbeach, that's going to go up. That's going to be thrown into the rubbish, so to speak, because it became tameh. But the basar is kayam. Here, the halach of Pesach is identical to the halach of all zvachim. Zorikas hadam. Even in the case of Pesach, we'll do zorikas hadam because what's left to eat here? The kezayis basar, which did not contract tumah. And as far as Korban Pesach is concerned, that's our goal. That's what we want to achieve. However, in the flip case, here's where Korban Pesach becomes unique. Nitma, if the basar is completely gone, it's all tameh. The chelev kayim, what you're left with is the chelev, so that's fine for the Akhtar al-Gabi Mizbeach, but no. Eino zorikas adam. The Korban Pesach is completely possible. Why? Because as we've said over and over again, what's the objective, the purpose of a Korban Pesach? Achilas HaBosah. Achilas HaBosah, right? The Ochlas HaBosah B'Layla Azeh. That's why we had the whole discussion about Shalom Liochlov, or if he Zorik the Dam, or he does the Shechita L'Shem Arel, or Tomei, or Zaken, or Chol, anyone who's not capable of Achila, that undermines the carbon here too. You cannot bring this carbon and be Zorik the Dam if the boss is completely Tomei, because that means there's no possibility of Achila HaKarbon. If there's no Kezayis that's left, tar, that can be eaten, then there's no Zrikas Adam. The carbon is meaningless. So we see again that with regard to Tumas Basar, Pesach is different than all Zvachim. And that again gives us a push to want to derive the halachas of Miktsas Ochlin from Tomei. And to say that if he had a machshava for the mulim and for the arelim, the carbon should be kosher, just like the case where he had kavana for both the tahorim and the tmeim. Because when we come to tumah, we see that carbon pesach has a unique halacha. So let's learn the laws of carbon pesach from tumah, because that's eina noig b'chol hazvachim. It's only unique to carbon pesach. If the basar is nitma, the carbon is pasul. So the Gemara says that's going to be okay as far as the Reisha is concerned, but not as far as the Sefer. B'mayu Kimta, how are you explaining this Brisa, that the Brisa prefers an equation to Tumas Basar? Ema Sefer, let's look at the Sefer. The Sefer comes and says, let's make a comparison to Chutzus Mano, to Machsheves Pigul. Why? Because Donin Dover Shalohuta Michlolo Midovar Dover Shahuta Michlolo, I'm sorry, Donim Dover Shalohuta Michlolo Midover Shalohuta Michlolo. Okay, so in the case of Pigul, we have something that's Lohuta Michlolo. And in that case, Machsheves Man is very similar to Karban Pesach, because if he had a Machshav L'Shem Arelim, the Arelim are enjoined from eating the Karban Pesach, and there's no Huta Mechlolo. So we have low Huta Mechlolo in Karban Pesach with regard to Arelim, and he had a Machsheves Arelim, and we have low Huta Mechlolo in the case of Chutz L'Zmano, which means Machsheves Pigul. So in both these cases, there's no Huta Mechlolo. And we therefore prefer to equate the case of Pesach, meaning of L'Shem Arelim, with the case of Chutz L'Zmano. Both have no heter whatsoever. However, when we get to Tumah, Dovah Shalohu to Mechlolo, in the case of Tumah, we have a Dovah Shahutra Mechlolo. Why? Because although in Zman there's no such thing as a heter of Pigul, if he has a Machshav Lechol Chutz L'Zmano, whether it's all Zvachim or whether it's Karban Pesach, but when we get to Tumah, Al Tochich Mi Tumah Shahutra Mechlolo, Tumah is different. Because in the case where the tzibur is tamei, we're going to bring the Karban Pesach even b'tuma. And that's true for all kodshim. That is a heter of tuma b'tzibur. And therefore in that case, when you're talking and you're trying to judge what's the din of a machsheves arelim, and you want to derive it from tuma, well, that's a little bit strange. Because machsheves arelim is a machshava that's low hutu mechlol, whereas tumah is hutu mechlol, and there's no equation. Rather, I would prefer the equation to chutz zmano, to pigul, where there's no hutu mechlol. So b'mai, when this brisa says that he wants to reject tumah as an equation because tumah is low hutu mechlol, is hutu mechlol, what's the case? Ilema. If the case is, here we're turning to Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis, B'tumas Basar, it means the Basar contracted Tumah. And now what are you going to tell me? That it's Huta Mechlolo? There's no Huta Mechlolo on Achilas Basar, if it's Tumah. There's only a Huta Mechlolo on the Hakrovas HaKarbon. With Makar of the Karbon, we're not going to eat the Basar. The Basar is Tumah. It's Kodshim Shen Nitmu. Heichon Hutra. To what extent is the heter in tumah? So, for example, you have a carbon tzibur which overrides tumah. So you're allowed to be makir of the carbon tumah if rov hatzibur tmeim, but the basar, if it's tamei, cannot be eaten. So what is the Gemara saying? Tochiach, I'll prove it to you. What's the language again? Al tochiach mi tuma, because hutu mechlolo. If you're talking about tuma's basa, there's no hutu mechlolo as far as the tuma. The Gemara later on is going to reject this. But right now the Gemara holds, and this is a Mishnah later on, that there's no hetu teachilas basa in the case of tuma. So why are you telling me that tuma's hutu mechlolo? It's not hutu mechlolo in any case, even if robat zibra tmeim. That's okay as far as that krav is concerned, but not as far as the achilas basa betuma. Elopshita, you must assume that when the Sefer says that there's a hutra mechlola in the case of Tumah, it's Tumas Gavri. It means that the people are Tumeya, and we're going to bring the karma. It doesn't mean that the Basar is Tumeya, and we're going to allow the Achilas Basar. The Hecha hutra mechlola b'tzibur. Which means that if Rov HaTzibur became Tumeya, then every single individual is allowed to bring his carbon Pesach b'tumah. And then the Zrikas Adam will be done while all the people who are bringing the carbon Pesach are tmeim. But Reisha, b'tumah's basa v'seif b'tumah's gavrei, you tell me that the first part of the Braisa is talking about an equation between Arla and Tumah, in the case of Tumas Basar, and then when you get to the Sefer, all of a sudden you jump to Tumas Gavri. So Gemara says, in. You're right. The ratio of this Bryce is trying to set up an equation between Arla and Tumas Basar. The Sefer is trying to reject this equation because of the din of Tumas Gavri. You're switching around from Tumas Basa to Tumas Gavri, Shem Tuma Kaparach. Since there's a Shem Kolel, there's an all-inclusive concept called Tuma. What do we do with Tuma? There's a Psul Tumen Kachim. And within that whole range of different cases of Tuma, we have something called Hutu Mechlolo, albeit in the case of Tumas Gavri. So therefore, when we want to equate Tuma and Arla, we're going to say that, wait, it doesn't make sense because Arla is something that has no Hutu Mechlolo. Tuma has Hutu Mechlolo. There's no din of Hutu Mechlolo with regard to Arla under any circumstances whatsoever. Imagine if you had a situation where Rov HaTzibur or Arelim, we would still be enjoined from bringing the Korban Pesach. Whereas Tuma, which is not similar, as far as at least Gavri is concerned, if most of the tzibur is comprised of tmeim, we will bring the karbon on the mizbeach. We will not allow you to eat the basa of a tumah, but that doesn't matter. Shame tumah, kaparech. But now the Gemara rejects this one premise. Ebois, Ema, if you want, I'm going to tell you the following. Brisa kula, the entire brisa is talking about tumas basa. Vehecha hutra, betumas pesach. Wow. Now the Gemara is suggesting something pretty radical. That Hutu Mechlolo applies not only to the fact that Rov HaTzibur is Tomei, and therefore the Pesach can be brought on a Mizbeach, but even as far as the Achilas HaBasar. And this is another reflection of the fact that Pesach is unique because the whole purpose of the Korban Pesach is what? To eat the basar. The Snam we have in the Mishnah, Pesach haba b'tumah means Rov HaTzibur tmeim, so we're allowed to be makriv the carbon Pesach b'tumah. The basar itself is also tmeim because if most of the tzibur tmeim, they're going to have physical contact with the basar. Nechal b'tumah, the Mishnah says not only are we going to bring the carbon on the mizbeach, but we're also going to eat the carbon Pesach, and that makes carbon Pesach unique. Because in all other cases of karbanos, even if it's a karban tzibur, rov tzibur tmeim, we're going to allow bringing the karban, but we're not going to allow it eating the basar. And why is karban pesach so unique? Says the Mishnah Shalom b'tchilas elachila. You can't tell me that you're going to be makriv the karban betuma, but you're not going to eat the basar. That's a stira b'nei ubei. Because in Korban Pesach, there's no such thing as Korban Pesach without Ochlin, without eating the Basar. So the final Maskon, according to this Ebayis Ema, reflecting that sheet in the Mishnah that allows, in the case of Tumah, to eat the Basar B'Tumah in Korban Pesach, Shalobam et Chilasa Lachila. Therefore, the Braisa in the Sefer is very Meduyak, just like in the Reisha. We're talking about Tumah's Basar. So in the Reisha we said that We should establish an equation to Arla because of Tumas Basar, because Tumas Basar is similar to Arla, and the Gemara says in the Sefer, no, it's not similar to Arla, because Arla has no Hutu Mechlolo, whereas Tumas Basar has Hutu Mechlolo in the case of Korban Pesach. Okay. Now at this point we go back to Rav Ashi. And this brings us to the concept of Hoyil. If you remember, we had a whole discussion about Hoyil, for example, in the case of an Orel, shall we say that he's considered Dumya Didei, he's like a Bar Kapora of the Korban Pesach, because all he has to do is mal himself, so that's called Hoyil. Or for the example, the case where he bakes on Yontif for Chol, but perhaps Orchim will come. So Rav Ashi was the one who presented the Shita, at least according to Rav Chisda, that if the Machsheves HaKoen, the Shashchita, was she's kapubo arelim, and these arelim are not part of the minuyim, then the carbon is possible because of shini bailim. Now shini bailim only applies if you have in mind someone else who's included in that kapara. He's a bar kapara kididei. And the answer is that an orel, says Rav Ashi, is considered a bar kapara because he can go ahead hoil and he can mal himself. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, Masi Rav Huna Breda Rav Yoshua, I'll ask you a Kasha from a Braisa. HaPesach She'ov Rosh Noso, a Korban Pesach can only be brought during the first year of its birth. So let's say this Keves was born, let's say, last Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and now we're up to Erev Pesach of this year. And he was mafresh the Korban Pesach a year ago, but he never was makrevit. So now the animal is already over a year old, and if it's possible for Hakrovas HaPesach, because Pesach only applies, the Pesach says Zohar Ben Shana, but not older than a Ben Shana. So we have now a case of a Korban Pesach that was sanctified as a Korban Pesach. It has the status of a Korban Pesach, but because it's possible, and it's possible as a result of this unique requirement of Zohar Ben Shana in Korban Pesach, then the din of a Korban Pesach, when you can't bring it as a Pesach, is what? Anybody know? Shlomim. Korban Pesach always becomes Shlomim. I'll give you three examples. Example number one is where he was makdish it before its first year, now it's over a year old. Example number two is he was makdish the Korban Pesach during the year, and it's not yet the 14th of Nisan. So that's called Pesach Shelo Bizmana, has the status of a Shlomim. Which is a fascinating concept that somehow Pesach on the one hand has its own identity, but at the same time belongs to a larger matrix of Korbanos, which are called Shlomim. And if it cannot be brought as a Pesach, it then falls back into its original general category as a Shlomim. Then we have another case. We have a case of Mosar Pesach, where they couldn't find the lamb after they were Makdashit. How do you say it in English? Arik. You know what Arik is, no? In the army, we used to use the word very often. Arik means AWOL, actually. Yeah, you can't find him. So the lamb went AWOL. So what did they bring? They brought a second lamb, and they were makdish the second lamb. Before they got a chance to bring the second lamb, they found the first lamb. The second lamb is now called Mosar Pesach, and has a din of Shlomim. So what happens? So the Braisa says in a whole bunch of different scenarios, for example, Avra Shnoso, where the Pesach now becomes a Shlomim, so Shachto Bizmano Lishmo, if on the 14th of Nisan of this year, afternoon, he brought this Karban Lishem Pesach, but again, it's Avra Shnoso. So what's the status of this Karban now? Shlomim, it can't be a Korban Pesach. So now we have a case of Shchita Shlomim L'Shem Pesach. And this is going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says that if you shecht a Shlomim L'Shem Pesach, the Korban is kosher. And that's based on the first Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim that says that a Korban that's brought Shalom L'Shma is kosher. But Rabbi Eliezer holds that the exception to that rule is Pesach. If you have a karmon like Shlomim and you shechtel l'shem Pesach, the karmon is pasul. Special din of Shalom l'shma when he had in mind l'shem Pesach. Here's another example. Shochet acherim l'shem Pesach. he picked up a carbon ola or a carbon shlamim and he shechted it for the purpose of a carbon pesach. Bizmano, and we're talking on the 14th of Nisan, where the machshava l'shem pesach is a meaningful machshava. Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer holds that any carbon that's shechted l'shem pesach, as long as it happened on the Zman of Pesach, that means the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon, is possible. Rabbi Yeshua Machshir. Rabbi Yeshua says the Pesach fits into the general category of Kol HaZvachim Shenizbechu Shelo Lishman Ksheir. So Rav Huna now reads this Mishnah, I'm sorry, this Braisa very carefully, with a Dirk. And he says the following, Taima, the reason why Rabbi Eliezer passes this karma, that was Shechtin L'Shem Pesach, is because bizmano, because we're now holding on the 14th in the afternoon. The Gemara thinks that that's a contradiction to Rav Ashi, who applies the principle of Hoyel in the case of an Orel. Hashalo bizmano. If you sheft shlomim for the sake of Korban Pesach, b'sharimos hashona, that's not bizman for Akrovas HaPesach, is Rav Eliezer's mode that is kosher. This is against Rav Chizda, the way Rav Ashi interpreted it, that we always say Hoyer. Vamai, the Gemara asks, why is the person who shechts the Shlomim L'shem Pesach Shelo Bizmano is kosher, name a Hoyer Ubizmano Posel. Let's imagine that he was shechted the Shlomim on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. It would be possible. And that's the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, that during that period of time, if you shech the carbon, which is not Pesach L'shem Pesach, it passes the carbon. Therefore, Shalom is Manu Nami, even during the rest of the year, we should assume that the carbon is possibly shechted L'shem Pesach. Why Hoil? Because if he did the same Shechit on Erev Pesach, if he would have waited until the 14th of Nisan and then shechted L'shem Pesach, it would be possible. So Hoil tells me that we should always sort of bridge the gap on a time difference and imagine that the time is now. In other words, since it has the potential, if we just wait till Zman HaPesach, and in this case, by doing so, we're going to pass the carbon, because if you recall, last week we discussed that Rabbi Chizda's Hoyel works L'chumra, right, L'chumra, and that means that he's going to passel a machshav l'shem arelim in Korban Pesach because the Ariel is considered bar kapara hoil since he could mal himself. Again, to say l'kula that he's going to allow you to bake on yomtiv for the sake of chol because of hoil, maybe the archim will come, that he's not willing to go. But here's a case of l'chumra. We're going to say hoil, if he would shech the carbon shlomim l'shem pesach bizmano, it would be possible, then it should be possible even if he shechts it the rest of the year l'shem pesach. Why does Rabbi Eliezer say that when is the carbon possible if you had a machshav l'shem pesach? That's only on Erev Pesach bizmano in the afternoon. Why not apply the same principle the whole year round? If you have a shlomim and he shechts it l'shem pesach the whole year round, since hoil, if he had shechted, if he would waited till Erev Pesach, the shechita l'shem pesach would pass the carbon. Here too, the rest of the year, the shechita should pass the carbon. Amar Rav Papa Shaini Hasam, the case of shechting shlomim l'shem pesach is different, and Rav Chizda is going to have to take a back seat and waive the principle of Hoel because of a pasuk. The Amar Kra, the pasuk says in Parshas Bo, it says Amartem Zevach Pesachu Lashem, and the Gemara says that there's an extra. Rav Papa says there's an extra word in this pasuk. Who is Bahavayaso Yia? Bahavayaso Yia means that the Torah is being very meticulous about the details and the requirements. In other words, the Torah is saying that the Hakrava has to be Lishma, to the exclusion of Lo Hu Lishum Acher, but not the case of a Korban Pesach, when he was Makriv, the Korban Pesach, for the sake of a different Zevach. This means that Shalom Lishma and Korban Pesach is a psul. Again, we said that Shalom Lishma and all Zvachim, the carbon is still kosher. The exception to the rule is Pesach, and that we derive from the word who, that who is telling me, Bavayaso Tia, that you have to do it exactly the way the Torah wants it, and the Torah wants you to shecht this carbon L'shem Pesach. But if he shechts it Shalom L'shem Pesach, but L'shem Shlomim, for example, then the carbon is possible.
Not only that, we have another derivation from this meaning of who. V'lo acherim lishmo. Now we're going to flip it around. We have a karbon shlomim, and l'shechtei l'shem karbon pesach. That also is going to pass the karbon. So we have a double chidush here in the case of karbon pesach. Number one, a machsheva shelo lishmo for pesach, which means l'shem shlomim is going to pass the karbon pesach. And number two, a machsheva l'shem pesach is going to be a psul of shelo lishmo in the case of all zvach. Okay, so what does that have to do with us? V'lo lo hu l'shem acherim v'lo acherim l'shmo. So the Gemara says that we have a principle called dumya. In other words, when we exclude two cases, we equate them. There's an analogy between the two. We, again, if they're both derived from one place. So here, from one word hu, we're deriving both the psul of pesach l'shem shlomim and shlomim l'shem pesach. And that gives us an analogy, a hekesh between the two. And what does it teach us? That dafka bismano on the 14th of Nisan, shehu pesach, is posel l'shem acherim. When does the carbon pesach become posel? But when it's of shelo lishma, based on the posel who? That's only on the 14th of Nisan, because that's when it's a carbon pesach, and that's when he had a machshava shelo lishma. Now talk about the other case, where he brought another carbon l'shem pesach, as afacherim psul l'shmo. When you had a carbon shlomim and you shechted l'shem pesach, that's going to pass all the carbon also based on the same limud of who is what. That's only bismano. If we shalo bismano means during the whole year round, shehu kosher l'shem acherim, when he shechted this carbon pesach l'shem shlomim. Then, as we said before, Pesach during the Torah, he has the status of Shlomitz Kosher. So to Acherim, if he shechted Zevach during the entire year round, Ksherim Lishmo, if he shechted L'Shem Pesach. So this limud is going to teach us that the Svar of Hoil of Rabbi Yechizda is suspended with regard to Shchitas Shlomim L'Shem Pesach. That if during the course of the year he shechts the Karban Shlomim L'Shem Pesach, since it's lo zmano, it's not the zman of Pesach, we're not going to apply the principle of Hoil, but rather we're going to equate it to the case, which is also derived from the same pasuk who, of Pesach l'shem acherim. And Pesach l'shem acherim could only apply on the 14th of the afternoon, when it has a shem Pesach. The whole year round, it's not called a Pesach. It's memela, since hu l'shem acherim applies only on Erev Pesach, when he shechted the Karban Pesach l'shem shlomim, so to acherim l'shmo, if the shlomim the rest of the year, the Pesach the rest of the year is called shlomim, and he shechts it l'shem Pesach, it's not going to passel the Karban, because the machshava l'shem Pesach only passels the Karban when we're talking about Yudalit in the afternoon. So the hoil svar, which would say to me that since if he would have waited for this Pesach from Tu Bishvat all the way to Erev Pesach, then the machshava of L'Shem Pesach would passel the Karban. So why not say the same thing should apply Shlomim the whole year round? The answer is, we're not going to apply Hoil. We'll suspend the Hoil based on this drasha. We have it? Again, there's a lot of kachim here. Yeah? Okay. So now the sugi gets a little bit easier. Okay, a little bit less technical. There's a bit of an agadity here which honestly defies my understanding. I always was taught to believe that you teach Torah to anybody. Whoever comes and wants to learn Torah, I don't have to check his credentials. Oh, okay, that you're right. Maybe if he's immoral, that's something different. But assuming Rav Simloy is coming to learn Torah by Rav Yochanan, I can promise you he's Tocho Kebar. He has no problem with his morality. And yet Rabbi Yochanan doesn't want to teach him Torah. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan wants to check out his yichus. So Rav Simloy also lekami to Rabbi Yochanan. He comes in front of Rabbi Yochanan and he says to him, Amar Lei, Nisni Limar Sefer Yichus. This entire brisa, which deals with the book of Tanakh called Divrei Hayomim, and that Tanakh, that book of Tanakh, is called in the Lashon HaShas Sefer Yuchsin. So again, it's a code word for learning Sefer Yuchsin. Now, I'm not exactly sure why Rav Simloi, of all the books in Tanakh, he's got 24 books, he chooses to learn Divrei Hayomim. But I suspect that the reason for that is because it's no coincidence that we call Divrei Hayomim Sefer Yochsin, because one of the most important subjects, if not the most important theme of Divrei Hayomim, is what we call Yochsin. There's entire chapters about the Mishpachos HaMiyuchasas BiYisrael. And in this particular context, Rav Simloi's Yochsin were coming under a little bit of a question. Amalei, Rav Yochanan says, Meheichan at. There were certain locations on the face of the globe that it was known that different psulim got mixed up over there. There was an admixture of psulim. We discussed something like this when we learned Masechta Ksuvos, if you may recall. So Rav Yochanan wants to find out if Rav Simloi has a problem with his Yochsin, and he can only know that by asking where he comes from. In Yiddish we say, Von wannen stammt mein Yid. Do you ever hear that phrase? Where does the Yid come from? Amalei Rav Simloi says, Mi Lud. I never had any problem with Lud. I go to Lud very often. That wasn't satisfied. That wasn't the right answer for Rav Yochanan. We'll soon see why. And Rav Yochanan gives him another chance. He says, but Veheichan Mosavach, where do you live now? Maybe you've already removed yourself from Lud. So Rav Simloi does not give the right answer. Where does he live? Heichan Mosavach. He says, Benarda. I now live in the city of Narda in Bavli. So he has his roots, in Eretz Yisrael. But he lives in Bavel. And where in Bavel? In Narda. Amalei, Eini Donim. We don't learn, Sefer Yochsin. Lo leludim v'lo nardom. You struck out here. Because these are not miyuchasim. Rashi explains, based on the sugya in Kiddushin, that in Narda, there was a taroves of, listen carefully, the avadim of Beis Chashmonoi. Because at one point in time, the Chashmonoi were all wiped out. And what was left were their avodim. An eved is considered a psul yuchsin. I'm talking about an eved knan.
Yeah.
So, for example, some of the popular names of the Beis Chashmonoi were Pachshur and Amar, and these were avodim. Many of them lived at the time of the Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and he talks about them. So, Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that you're not allowed to study Divrei Torah unless it's miyuchasim shall be Yisrael. The Torah says in Parshas Zos HaBracha, Torah tzivah lanu Moshe Morasha kilas Yaakov, and that means kilas Yaakov v'lo kilas avodim. And there was an admixture of avodim in the city of Narda, and this appears in many places in Shas, and therefore Rav Yochanan wanted to reject Rav Simloi. Now he quotes here in the footnote in the Masifta a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi claims that the Torah, meaning Torah Shebaal Peh, is divided into two parts, Halacha and Agada. Now again, today I would have to add this comment, we don't really have the keys to understanding Agadot. Agadot is a world unto itself, very complicated, and it has its own secret passwords. And what Rav Simloi wanted to do was learn from Rav Yochanan Agadata. That's what it seems from the Yushalmi. And the Pnei Moshe, who's the super commentary on the Yushalmi, says that the Agadata of Sefer Divrei Hayomim is not Mefurash. In other words, you have to really interpret it. And it's hard. And Rav Simloi wanted to get the clue to unlock the mystery of the Agadata here in the case of Sefer Yochsin from Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan responds to him that we have a Mesoris, a tradition from our ancestors, that we don't teach Agadata not to Nardoyim and not to Dromium. Lud is called a Dromi. It seems that the Avodim somehow, birds fly south in the winter. And why is it that in these areas we don't teach Agadata? And the answer is because as a result of the admixture of different psulim, there was a problem with midos. Hein gase haruach umeutei meutei Torah. In other words, they have a very limited appreciation for Torah, and not only that, they're full of themselves. Now Rav Simloi had two strikes against him. On the one hand, he's above Loi for Nardoi, and on the other hand, he lived in his original life in Lud. And Lud was a place which was full of Gasei Aruach and Ma'utei Torah. And Rabbi Yochanan felt that his hands were tied behind his back. That since these people, in general, are chashed that they're not Oskim B'Torah Karoi, and there's a special danger with regard to Agadata, Sheotziu Taimei HaMikros L'nyonim Zorim O She'al Igu Aleim Chas V'Sholom. Now this is something interesting. You all heard of Rebbe Yoshev. Rebbe Yoshev wrote He'oros on the Yerushalmi. I didn't know that. I have a grandson who's named after him. And he says that this Braisa, which is discussing Divrei HaYomim, he says there was Harvei Divrei Agada that had included within it Sodos Udvarim Amukim. This is esoteric. And Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion, Ein royal alamdom, we shouldn't be teaching them to people who are suspect of misconstruing these concepts that are so profound. And Rabbi Yoshev goes on to say that according to the Gemara later on, we didn't get to it yet, the Sefer Yuchsin is not the same as what we have in Tanakh. The original Sefer Yuchsin, which had in it so many esoteric secrets, was Nignas. It was hidden. Why, says Rabbi Yoshev? Because it was so profound and so challenging, so difficult to understand, that people would misconstrue and would misuse the ideas.
Meaning it was a Sefer in Tanakh?
It was part of Tanakh, but eventually it was subject to Gniza. There were so many secrets in that part, which is called the Sefer Yuchs. And again, we still have most of that book, which is called Divrei HaYomim. But the real secret parts, which Oscar would say is beyond the scope of this elucidation, those were subject to Gniza. We're going to see that a little bit later. So Omer Leis, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Eini donim. I can't teach you Sefer Yuchsin. It's too esoteric. Lo leludiyim v'lo nardoyim. You fit into both categories. Your yichus is questionable because there's so many avodim there and gasei aruach and miutei Torah. I can't do that. It's too risky. Koskein the at milud umi umozaf umos savach b'nardoyim.
Well, this explains the issue. In other words, not just teaching him Torah, but who are you allowed to teach Kabbalah to? In other words, who's
right.
Appropriate?
Today they have these Kabbalah centers.
I'm saying the traditional view of waiting until you're 40. In other words, that it's only for certain kinds of people. And
correct. And so that's what we get from this. Yerushalmi
was a
right. If not for Yerushalmi and the Pnei Moshe and also Rabbi Yoshua, I would have said that simply there's some sort of halacha that you can't teach someone who's suspect on his yuchsin because he's not Kilus Yaakov, and if he's suspect on his yuchsin, we can't teach him anything.
Well,
it's not limited to Agadat. It's only Yerushalmi who tells me it's limited to Agadat. But Kafi, did you think Rav Simloi took no for an answer? Oh no, he kept pushing and pushing. The Arze, until Rabbi Yochanan backed down and agreed to teach him. And we'll soon see why he agreed to teach him. Amale, Rav Simloi turns to Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Nisne, let's learn Sefer Yuchsin, B'tvase Yarchi. It's like my friend Rabbi Shurin has the yeshiva of Bali Tshuvas. He says, in the old days, back in the 1970s, when a person became interested in Yiddishkeit, I don't know if you ever heard of Revolution Magazine, it's a famous story. Anyway, so they would leave everything they were doing they would cut themselves off for the time being from the gurus and all the stuff, and they would learn Torah. But he said, Eich naflu gibor in the Ziritas Hadars, today a guy will come to you and he'll say, I have a 3-week break in my super duper work, you know, where I'm making $50 million an hour. Teach me Kolatar Kulash and Yome Beregalachas. So Rav Simloy was very pressed for time. He could only designate 3 months. Teach me the entire Sefer Yuchsu, which was apparently very profound, in 3 months. Now, the next four words, I don't know if we should take them literally, but we'll translate them. What was Rabbi Yochanan's response? Shakal Kola Patakbe. Kola, Rashi says, is a gush afar. It's a solid clump. What? A
clot of dirt.
A clot of dirt. And he threw it at him. Again, I don't know if it means, he probably means he threw him out, so to speak. But the Gemara says he threw a clump of dirt at him. Amar Leih, and Rabbi Yochanan said to him as follows. Let's learn a Kal Vachomer from Bruria. Uma Bruria debay say the Rav Meir. What can we say about Bruria? Barte de Rabbi Chanina Bar Trajan. Her father was Rabbi Chanina Bar Trajan. Her husband was Rabbi Meir. And Desanya, and she used to learn Tlas Mea Shmaitita Biyoma. On a daily basis, she covered 300 sugyas. Wow. And not only that, she studied on a daily basis Mitlas Mea Rabvasa from 300 Rabban. She felt that she has to be exposed to each derech halimud. Everybody has their own unique approach. Vafilu haki, despite her greatness, lo yotzasa yidei chovasa betlashnin. She wouldn't have closed the Sefer Yuchsin with a finito and said, I understand Sefer Yuchsin even after 3 years of study. You want to finish all of Sefer Yuchsin in 3 months? The Ad Amrit be Tlosa Yarchi? Who are you fooling? You can't shine a candle to Bruria. Bruria couldn't even finish Sefer Yuchsin in 3 years, and you're telling me you're going to finish it in 3 months? Come back when you have a little more time. Kishakil the Azil, but Rav Simloy wanted to prove on his way out to Rav Yochanan that he's not such a dumbbell, and he can ask an intelligent question, and sometimes you can determine a person's potential from the questions he asks. On the way, he says to Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, Ma bein lishmo v'shalo lishmo, levein ochla v'shalo liochla. I'm going to ask you a real tifashayla, a profound lumdisha question. With regard to Pesach, there are two different halachos. One is called Shalom Lishma. Now, what happens if the Shochet had a compound Machshava, both Lishma and Shalom Lishma? So the Mishnah says back on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis that in this case, the carbon is possible. Why? Because he also has a Shalom Lishma. In the case of Li'ochlov and Shalom Li'ochlov, the Mishnah says that the carbon is kosher, even though he has a machshava shalom liochlov. Why is it that shalom lishma passes the carbon, and shalom liochlov in this case does not pass the carbon? Mimanavshav. If you're telling me that if you have the egg mixture, let's be koveya based on the proper kavana, then in the case of shalom and shalom lishma, the carbon should be kosher. And if you're telling me liochlov and shalom liochlov, how could that be kosher? If you're telling me that we go by the machshava poselas. Amolei, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Hoel, I see now the tzurva mirabonan at, that you're a Talmud Chacham, is therefore Tavi Emalecha, come and I will explain to you the difference between the two. And he gives four differences, meaning there are four unique halachas, all of them lechumra, with regard to Machsheves Shalom Lishma, that don't apply, have no parallel in Machsheves Shalom Li'ochla. Let's go through all four. Number one, Lishmo v'shalo lishmo psulo begufa. The Machsheves about the carbon itself when you're telling me that the carbon is not for Pesach, but rather it's for Shlomim. The problem is with the ochlim, it's not with the gufa carbon. Number two, lishmo v'shalo lishmo, ef shalavari sura. There's a real big problem with shalo lishmo. We can't split the carbon in half and say half the carbon goes lishmo and half goes shalo lishmo. But liochlov shaloliochlov efshalavari suro, we can make a decision that this part of the animal was liochlov and this part was shaloliochlov. We can split the basar into two parts. And finally, the third distinction is lishmo v'shalolishmo yeshno biarba avodos. In all four of the avodos, shchita, kabbalah, halacha, and zrika, you can have machsheva shaloleshma. We ochlav shaloleshma only applies to shchita, eino biarba avodos. Lishmo v'shaloleshma yeshno b'tzibur kibikarbon yachid. We ochlav shaloleshma eino b'tzibur kibiyachid. In other words, whereas the psul of shaloleshma is applicable to every single carbon on the face of the globe, whether it's a carbon tzibur, it's a carbon yachid, the psul of shalol yochlov is not a universal psul. It only applies to carbon pesach. Wait, I'm not sure how to interpret the language of the Gemara here. Li ochlov shalolochov eino b'tzibur kibiyachid. Just 1 second. He says here, ein machsheves achila poselos ela b'pesach. Yeah, that's what I thought. But how do you fit that into the words of the Gemara? See, maybe he embellishes this here. No, he just tells you where you derive it from. So wait, how do we fit this in? Eino b'karbonos tzibur kibiyachid. Oh, I see what I think I see what he's saying. That with regard to other categories of karbonos, they lend themselves to a karbon tzibur. And therefore, even if the tzibur would have a shchita shalo lishma, that would upset and undermine the karbon. But in the case of carbon Pesach, there's no concept of a carbon tzibur, and the only halach of shalol yochlov as a machshava poselis is with regard to the yachid. The machshava poselis of shalol lishma in the case of all carbonos applies even to a carbon tzibur. But in the case of Pesach, you cannot apply the yardstick of shalol yochlov for a carbon tzibur. But again, that's because of the technicality, because a carbon Pesach could never be a carbon tzibur. So I don't know exactly what the Gemara means. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi wants to collapse two of these distinctions of Rav Yochanan and whittle it down. And he says the following, that psula begufo and he efshal levari sura chada milsahi. You can't separate between the two. Because why is it that there's a psula begufo? He says, dematam Omar, why does he say that shalol lishma is a psul begufo mishum diyef shalavari suro? In other words, if you could have been mavari suro, then it wouldn't be a psul begufo. It wouldn't possibly entire carbon, because we'd be able to split the carbon into two halves, and we'd be able to say that the iser only relates to one half. It's concentrated in one half, and that's not a machshav in the guf habehema. Amar Abi Bar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Miyom Shenignas Sefer Yuchsin, Toshash Kochan Shal Chacham. At some point in history, they decided to hide Sefer Yuchsin. Now, if you recall, we discussed the esoteric nature of Sefer Yuchsin. However, Rashi says something totally different. Rashi says, Nishtakach Sefer Yuchsin. It seems that he's not saying, Rashi, that they had to be gonezed because they were afraid that people would get access to it, but simply they forgot Sefer Yuchsin. It went out of vogue.
Out of print.
Out of print, yeah. It was no longer a desirable book to read or to study, because I guess it was too technical or too profound. And as a result, Toshash Kochan shall chacham v'kaha miore einehem. Wow. In other words, there are a lot of insights into Torah that are incorporated into Sefer Yuchsin, and once this book was lost, it had a tremendous qualitative impact on the entire enterprise of the study of Torah. And now Mar Zutra wants to clarify the significance of Sefer Yuchsin. Omer Mar Zutra, Bein Otzel Li Otzel. So this is the first chapter. I'm sorry. You know, Divrei Yom has two parts to it. There's Divrei Yom Aleph and Divrei Yom Beis. So this is the eighth chapter of Divrei Yom Aleph. And there's a pasuk there that says, Ula Otzel Shisha Banim. And the end of that pasuk says, Eila B'nei Otzel. Is Te'inu Arba Mea Gamli Didrasha. In order to satisfactorily darshan these psukim about Otzel and Otzel in these two psukim, one is Li Otzel Shisha Bonim and then Eila B'nei Otzel, we would need to darshan Sefer Yuchsin, so many drashas that we could fit, if we wrote them down, I guess, on paper, we could fit them into 400, on the backs of 400 camels. I mean, he's giving just the tip of the iceberg to get a taste of how profound this Sefer Yuchsin is. In the note here, he writes the following. B'divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Ches Kosuv Uli Otzel Shisha Banim V'Elish Mosam Azrikam Barcho V'Yishmael V'Seira V'Alvadya V'Chanan Kol Eile B'nei Otzel. So here we have an enumerated list of the six children of Otzel. This pasuk appears again later on, not in the eighth chapter, but in the ninth chapter. And he says the following, that between chapter 8 and chapter 9, there's a whole parsha, very complicated, very long, that deals with the Yuchsin, different Yuchsin. Mar Zutra is telling us that each parsha, between these two sets of psukim, is so complicated that the drashos between these two psukim would fill up 400 camels. And the Malbim adds the following. He says, Pasuk zeh chozer al atzmo v'lo nodu madua. We find both in Perek Ches and Perek Tes of the first Divrei Yomim that the Torah repeats the same names. Totally unnecessary. Not only that, he says, Lamala monogamis b'nei esek achiv. So one of the children of Etzel is called Esek, and it mentions all the names of his children. Here in Pasuk Tes, that's completely omitted. Therefore, says the Malbim, Chazal were able to darshan 400 gemalim teunos full of these drashos. And this is supposed to give us a sense of what was lost when they either buried or forgot Sefer Yuchsin. Okay.
It's an important marker if you're looking at the beginnings of Kabbalah and saying there's an important marker in the Gemara.
Yeah, but unfortunately we don't have the Sefer Yuchsin. I'm just wondering, you know, if we had the Sefer Yuchsin, how many drashos? Again, I don't know if we have the codes. Yeah, Rav Salvechik just tells us we don't really have the codes to unlock the mysteries of Agadita. In the yeshiva, I was there 5 years. I don't remember on even one occasion that he learned the Agadita. He always skipped the Agadita. Some of the public drashos, he would touch on the Agadita. But even then, it was not really a classical kind of Agadita. You know, he would take a point and dash it on it. You know, sometimes he touched a little bit on Tamei HaMitzvahs, you know,
I mentioned. Saying Rav Kook, who is the Kabbalist, is the Agadah is so important.
Right. He wrote extensively on
every Agadah. Word of it he's interpreting.
Right.
That's the two different.
I do remember there's a very interesting, again, I don't even know if you call it an Agadah, at the beginning of a Sefer Sanhedrin and Avav, there's a long, long Agadah in the Sugya Pshara.
Pshara, that's the Rav has said, yeah.
Right, so the Gemara goes through various adages,
right,
you know,
right.
Very, some of them are very complicated to figure out, that these were the Amcha, you know, different
right.
home-customed phrases.
So
My father says he could have written that same size and profound agadah for Yiddish. Yiddish was so full of adages and idioms.
The Rebbe's darshan, that was amazing.
And the Rebbe's darshan that Gemara, and he went through each one of them. You know, it was a very unusual. We have, I don't remember who took the notes. It was way before my time.
It's written up in one of the.
But we have the notes. Yeah, it's accessible. I have a copy of the notes. I don't know. I'm not sure if Besdin or any of the others published them. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. We have about 5 minutes left until Meirin, and the Mishnah speaks about a machshava l'shem at the time of shchita l'shem mulim l'shem arelim. Aaron, you want to open up the door?
I have to.
Oh, okay. So great. Open up the door if you don't mind. So we'll know when Meir is. So maybe this Gilgal, the Shabbat here, who probably knows Sefer Yuchsin, will go out the door. Tanya, we went to the Braisa. The Braisa says, "Achirim omim hikdim mulim la'arelim kosher, but arelim mulim poser." That there are two categories of what we call mixas arla, where he has in mind both mulim and arelim, and it all depends on the sequence. If he starts with l'shem mulim, then it's kosher. In other words, the subsequent machshav l'shem arelim does not undermine the machshav l'shem mulim, and therefore the carbon is kosher. But if he began with arelim, and now we want the mulim to come and undermine the psul of machshav l'shem, that we can't do, and the carbon is possible. Maishna, what's the difference? She mulim la relim de kosher. If he starts with mulim, it's kosher. Why? Because the kula arla the inon, he didn't have an exclusive kavan al shema relim. In other words, he had in mind those who could eat the karva, meaning the mulim, veleka. So it's not kula arla. Is then, let's go in the other way around. Arelim the mulim nami, they're also, it's kula arla the inon veleka. He had in mind also for mulim. So therefore, the karva should be kosher. Now we turn to Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara answers: Lema kasavri acherim. The shita the acherim is based on ein l'shchita el basof, which is a gigantic machlokes. Whether we consider the shchita from the beginning of shchita till the end of shchita. Now, if we assume that the entire shchita is one long entity, indivisible, that's called ein l'shchita el basof. It's only when he completes the shchita at the end. Then in both these cases, we would say it's possible. Correct? I'm sorry, that would be if you hold Yesh the Shechita Mitchila Batsof, that any machshava that he had during the course of the Shechita, and at some point he had L'shem Arelim, that would pass the karma. But if we hold Ein L'Shechita El Basov, then there's no significance to the Tchila Shechita. All the Chalos Shechita is only at the end when he completes the Shechita. So everything depends on what his last machshava was at the time of Gemara Shechita, of Sof Shechita. Ukidah Rava. And this reflects the Shechita of Rava, who analyzes Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir holds Ein L'Shechita El Basov. Acherim is always Rabbi Meir. That's a general rule. So therefore, this Brice of Acherim is authored by Rav Meir, and Rav is going to prove to us that Rav Meir holds Ein L'Shechita Ela Basof, and therefore the Machshava that he has at the end of the Shechita is going to determine whether the carbon is kosher or pasul. The Amar Rava Adayin Hi Machlokes. Okay, so this is where we want to stop. Adayin Hi Machlokes, because this is already a whole new dimension of the Sugya. And Bali Netta will pick this up next week. I didn't want to disturb you. I really wanted to call on you today to read, but I saw that you were extremely exhausted. Are you okay?
We got a lot of extra work going on right now.
Oh, it's tax season?
Kind of? No, it's marketing.
Oh, marketing? For this new company that you're working for.
Yeah.
All right, so let me wish you a lot of hatzlacha.
Thank you.
And if you have any marketing tricks that you need my help with, just call on. I'm just joking. The one course in college I never took was marketing.
I took a lot of
you didn't either. I'm really sort of backtracking here, backpedaling, because had I taken marketing in college, maybe I would know how to market better, you know, but
isn't it true that in marketing you have to present the material in a certain way? I mean, is it onos dvarim if you, you know, are there any issues of onos dvarim, you know?
For sure. No, false advertising is illegal.
Oh.
I'm not sure what the implications there or what the punishes are. I just know that you can't advertise something that's false. And there are people there, and there are plenty of people who go right up against the limit. Uh-huh. And they try to test where they have what they go. There have been cases that have been won, cases that have been lost. But it's more about how do you reach people in a confident, effective way, and the way that's going to be most effective.
You know, to present your product in the most positive light.
Yeah.
That it's something unique and something that other people could benefit from.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Be by the floor.